Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Okay, we're back. The Aftermess podcast episode. I don't even remember at this point. I think it's what, six?
Six, right?
Six, yes.
Six.
It's something.
You can now subscribe to us. And let us know what you think. You can hit us up on the DM or what have you. It's Joey Boy.
Hi, it's Anish.
It's Gina.
And it's Carla.
So we're going to start the podcast off today talking about who's creeping in your DMs or who's sliding into your DMs, because I think with each of us, it's different types of people sliding into my DMs. I think for me, people have pretty much come to the conclusion that I'm married. So I think that's not even a factor anymore. I don't got like that creeper trying to get with me because people love my wife more than me. So they're not trying to disrespect. But ever since on the show a couple months ago, talked about me and the wife trying to get a house or something, every fucking day a realtor is hitting me to sell me a house. Or I'm your guy, I'm your gal, every day.
Of course.
A proposal and no shade, no disrespect. If I do decide, and when we do, God willing, this next goddamn contract will come through here, I can actually buy a house. I'll probably go through my good friends, Ernie Marisa. They've been friends with me for a very long time.
Yeah.
So just to let everyone know, that's probably who I'm going to go through to buy a house. Okay.
It's hard to knock the hustle because I get it. You're a salesperson. It's literally your job. But typically, and I mean, in my experience, you go with someone that you know personally.
Yes.
It just works out better. It's an easier process that way.
75% of them, garbage. There is about 25% that come pretty correct. And if I didn't have a friend, you come really correct with your pitch. But
yeah.
I'm not the one. But I know my DMs are way more boring than you guys at this point, because you're hot chicks that I work with, and especially Anish.
Oh my God, stop
it. Anish, who's sliding into your DMs and why?
Well, for me, I don't know if I like it so much. I would really appreciate it if everybody, well, if I wasn't single and everybody was aware of it. But there's one example in particular. I think I actually shared this with the girls on the show, and this guy will actually keep on hitting me up. So I'm not going to say who he is, because again, dealing with people that are in the closet, like, you can't. Or at least
out
I
them.
Don't just straight up out them. This guy straight up told me that he's a straight man and that he's married, but he's never been with a guy before, and that he wants to give me his number. And then he proceeded to tell me what exactly he wanted to do with me.
Oh my gosh, that's so many messages.
Yeah. I remember you showed me this one night when we were hanging together, and I was dying because of how graphic this guy was getting with you about all the things. And also how lucky you would be to perform these measures because he is a straight man. I was like, are you for real?
He wants to perform on you. He wants you to perform on him.
He wants me to perform on him.
Yes. Okay.
And can I just talk about, like, what specifically, can we get that?
Yeah.
That graphic? Yeah. I was going to say, he was just like, I want to fuck your face.
Like, what does that even mean?
That was,
what do you mean?
Oh,
come on, Carla.
Oh my God, Carla.
And he wants to do it, quote, so hard. Then he started to tell me about how he had another experience with a guy that he met at Planet Fitness and decided to have a little encounter in the parking lot. I go to check out his profile. It's private, but his, you know, you can see on a private profile, you can see like their little profile picture, their avatar.
Yes.
It's a picture of clearly his child, like with a baseball bat. And so I was like, my guy, you're what?
Am I gay?
Maybe, but he hasn't stopped talking to me. At one point, he sent me Drake's Best I Ever Had, and he told me that this is exactly what I would be playing if I ever got with him.
He wants to do that fitness. He wants to fit these nuts in your mouth. That's what he will fit.
Also, he sent me pictures of his private parts, and every single picture has looked completely different. So I'm just like,
he's Google imaging.
Yeah,
like these aren't you.
Come on,
this guy is clearly white, and somehow I got like a very dark skinned dick in my DMs. So I was like, I'm pretty sure.
Where's
this
the pink
is
dick?
Not you.
Where's the pink mushroom?
Where?
You would never hook up with a guy like this.
No, because No, like, it's really creepy. He was very, very excessive.
Have you blocked him?
Yes. No, I blocked
him. You blocked this guy.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. That was, at a certain point, I was just like, no, man.
Too much.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Gina, what about you?
All over the place. I've had everything from, I want you to try my product and I want you to talk about it. I'll give you a discount. And I'm like, excuse me, if you want me to advertise for you, I would be getting it for free at the very least. So do not come at me offering a discount.
Yeah.
Lucky me. No, if you want me to advertise, that's a whole other story. But I do still get the occasional creeper. I've been married and with Bryce for the entirety of my radio career. So they always try to be real sly with it. Like sometimes it's just a, you're really beautiful. And I think that's fine. So, you know, I'm like, oh, thank you. That's nice. And they think that opens the door to saying more. Oh, yeah, you're so gorgeous and this, and I would love and this and that. And then I tell them, I'm like, this is too far. You gave me a compliment. That was one thing. This is too far for me. Oh, I don't mean no disrespect to Bryce and blah, blah, blah. I said, look, I told you it's too far. We're going to stop it right here. And they either get really defensive and pissed off at me at that point, like, fuck you. Guys get all up in their feelings when you tell them.
But,
or on the flip side, sometimes they're like, that's my bad. Okay. And they never do it again. And that's great.
Like, that's dope.
So that happens. I've had the most recent one was just a random ass gym selfie. This guy shirtless took a picture. I don't even follow him. I don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. Sent it to me and I showed it to a niche. And I had a niche reply to him with the video of a niche. And he's like, oh, you're cute. So like that was my favorite. If you try to slide into my DMs like a creeper, we will be sending you to our good friend Anish.
Anish is up for hire.
He will enjoy all of the views.
I love that. Yeah. I've gotten a few this past year of girls that want to get with me and my wife.
Oh, that.
Yeah.
Trying to be the unicorn.
Yes, they're trying to, and you know, this is every guy's fantasy and definitely fantasize about it, but they're more just like, they have this thing for Amber. Like, I get more proposal because of Amber.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, they want to get with me and Amber, not me. They want to get with me and the hot wife, which is hilarious. Carla, oh my God. Okay, who's sliding into DMs and why?
Yo, who isn't sliding in my DMs? And that isn't me. Like, it's not me trying to be like, I'm that bitch, but like, I truly am that bitch on Instagram. Like, I mean, because I get at least.
Yo, come on, you're humble pie. Just
no,
you know,
no. This is not me being. This is not me being like that. This is me stating facts. I get hit on at least.
Oh my god!
The more you say it,
the more you say it, the more big headed you sound.
No,
by the way,
I get hit on at least 20 times a day. Like at least 20 times a day.
Okay, so what happened?
That's it.
I mean, it is.
That's the ones that I see. No, you should see my requests. Like my requests are disgusting. And like the thing is, I notice a lot, especially like on our Instagram page for The Morning Mess, a lot of the guys that like talk shit about me, when I respond, they're like, oh my God, you replied. You never respond to my DMs. Like, of course not. And I sure as hell am not going to do it now. Like, what are you doing, homeboy? But no, I think.
But
my...
you do date guys that treat you like shit. So maybe that's why that they're trying to holler at you. Come in like disrespectful.
Yeah, you know what? No. Because even the guys that treated me like shit treated me nice at first. That's how they trapped me. So
they at least started off correct, or at least they had a plan.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever dated anyone that slid in my DMs anyway. But I think my favorite one is this one guy who keeps messaging me in Spanish. And I'm just gonna, should I read them to you in Spanish or should I just translate them to you?
Spanish.
Okay. Hola corazón. ¿Cómo estás? ¿Hablas español? Jaja. Es que no sé si hables o no porque te he mandado mensajes y no me contestas. Te quiero invitar a salir a comer tacos. ¿Qué dices? So basically, he like said, hey, love, I don't know if you speak Spanish or not because I keep DMing you and you don't respond, but I want to take you out for tacos. Then his next message was also in Spanish, but he was like, hey, Carla, do you not see your messages? Then the next one was, you never answer me. Why not? You have a good man in front of you, hardworking and family oriented.
Where's he at?
And I just didn't respond again. And then he kept asking me out and asking me out. And then he started trying to video chat me. And then he keeps going like, Carla, you don't like to talk. Like, what? You don't like to talk? And I'm just like, sir, get the picture. Like, I don't want to talk to you.
You know there's a block button, right?
Yeah. I don't really go through my messages like that. I just let them
build up. Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta block it. Like, Anish, that story's crazy. But eventually it goes to a block.
Absolutely.
It, like... I could show it to you because I didn't even tell you remotely all the stuff that was in there. But yeah, at a certain point, I do hit the block because it's just like, oh my God, I don't want to invest in this and I need you to understand this is not happening.
It's a waste of time. We're too busy for all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I was in Cali this past week, and I want to bring this up on the podcast. And I had a great lunch with my radio sister, Kat. Me and Kat worked together for years. And we had a discussion. She recently got divorced, and she's co-parenting kids. And she was talking about she wanted to break the cycle, how her parents, well, her mom specifically, she divorced her dad and to this day hates her dad. And she's trying to break the cycle so that she doesn't have that hate in front of her kids with their father. And I thought that was really interesting because I think 2 years ago, and I think Anish was witnessing this, my transformation, I've had so much anger. And I feel like I get that from my dad. My dad has just anger issues all his whole life. Now, him and my mom are still together. But the way he handled situations, I realized a couple years ago, it's just, it's not really your fault when you're a product of your parents. You were kind of wired that way. And until you do therapy, I've never done therapy, but I'm thinking about doing it. But until you realize you're a product of your parents and sometimes you don't like yourself because this is the way you're raised, it's not really your fault. Unless you analyze yourself, it's like, okay, I got to break this cycle because I don't want to hold that anger and just upset at the whole world because why aren't you my friend? Why didn't this work out with you on my radio show? Why are you this? Why? Instead of pointing the finger, I just started just pointing the finger at myself. Like, okay, how can I USA? How can I just relax and hear people out and just be like, okay, we're just going to agree to disagree. And I'm just going to walk out the room or just like, okay, and see how I can handle it differently. And I think, Anish, you've seen this in the past couple of years.
Yep.
Where I held a lot of anger. I think it's just because bad relationships on radio.
Well, you know what's wild too about what you're talking about, how you handle situations and how you're raised by your parents to see a certain way?
Right.
Your brain gets wired that way, literally. There's all these different pathways, I forget the term, neurons, whatever, that make you analyze a situation and then go to a specific reaction. And the more you do that, the stronger that highway, so to speak, becomes. So it takes a lot of retraining of your own brain to go a different route. It's literally taking the path not followed, you know, so to speak, in your mind. It's like hiking off terrain or going on the nice smooth road. So if you've always gone there, that road just gets smoother and smoother in your brain. It's very hard to retrain it, but it's good to take that introspective look, recognize what you want, what you don't want, and then you really do have to work for it.
Yeah, basically blame your parents.
To an extent.
Because to me, it's like, it's not your fault, but it's your responsibility.
Right. Absolutely.
Like, you fall, it's not so simple. Like, you do have to totally break the cycle. I will say, like, for me, when it comes to my parents, what I will give, like, specifically, like, my mom props for is that she would tell me when she was growing up, she was micromanaged a lot as a kid. Like, she was in boarding schools and was in, like, different places all the time. But she always had somebody checking in on her, like, probably, like, every 15 minutes. Just to see what she was doing.
Gosh.
Like, it was very intense.
Controlling. Wow.
It was very controlling.
So do you think you apply that to your life now?
Well, the thing is, so to give it full perspective, so what my mom decided to do with us, in particular with me and my sister, is that she just let us go. She was like, and she wouldn't. My dad would always knock on our door all the time to check on us, but my mom was like, no.
Wow.
I'm going to give you your space. You come to me if you need anything, and I'm going to make it so that, like, we're going to have, like, an openness with each other. If you want to come to me, you can, but otherwise, you go ahead and do your own thing.
She was breaking the cycle.
She broke
the
cycle.
That's amazing.
Yes. And to be super deep, like, to me, I feel like the way that I've broken the cycle, it's been something that... It's crazy. I was just talking about this with somebody last night, but like, my parents are a product of an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
Like, they're a product of like a very, very specific cultural tradition, and through a lot of their help, but really something that I try to do myself is like, I've broken the cycle by not following the path that I was supposed to according to my, I don't know, like your forefathers and foremothers and your ancestors. Like, I'm not doing that. I'm an openly gay man. I'm pursuing a career in an industry that I'm passionate about, as opposed to just being like, are you going to be a doctor? Are you going to be an engineer? Are you going to be married? And how many kids are you going to have? How much honor are you going to bring to our family?
Right.
Forget that. I'm going to live my life the way that I want to. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do what makes me feel the best. And like, that to me is the cycle that I'm breaking. And if I have kids in the future, of course, I'm going to encourage them to do the same thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. See, my parents were actually really good with that, which was amazing. Like, it doesn't matter what I was doing. They would support me fully. Like, most people, you get into journalism, it really doesn't pay that well. And then especially when you get into radio, it's hard to get to where I am. It's this crazy combination of hard work and opportunity, which is almost luck at that point. But they always supported me, so that was good. But one thing that I picked up from my mom, which was not good, she would never cry in front of us ever. period. Mm. She would hide, and she did not want you to be around her. Like, if you, my mom's a cigarette smoker, so she'd go into the garage to smoke. If I went into the garage to ask her something and she was crying, she'd tell me to get. She's like, you get. Like, I'm having a moment. Oh, you're leaving right now.
Did you understand and comprehend what was going on right there?
No. You're a kid. You know what you know. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, peace out, mom. Like, I knew she was upset, but I didn't realize that it wasn't exactly normal to be so secluded with your emotions. My mom is a very guarded person when it comes to when she's upset. And I did, I have a friend still to this day. Her name's Megan. She is the complete opposite. She would call me blubbering on the phone all the time. And I used to think, like, what the hell is wrong with this girl? Like,
oh my God.
Like, you're weak. Like, I used to think that for the longest time. And it took me moving out of my parents' house, because then you really start to get to know yourself when you're out of your parents' house. And when I was in college, my related focus for studies was humans, essentially. Not psychology, but human relationship.
Yes.
How you built relationship with other people, with yourself, how you grow. It was super fascinating. But I learned, I was like, it's completely normal to cry when you're upset.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean you're psycho or crazy. That's another thing society teaches women, by the way. If you're hysterical and you're crying, you're psycho and you're out of control, which is also bullshit.
Or even the opposite with men.
You can't cry, right? As a man.
Not allowed. To me, I've seen my dad cry. It was traumatic stuff, like his sister passing. I talk about that. One person in my life that passed from AIDS was his sister. And that's the first time I saw my dad lose it. It was his baby sister. She contracted it from her husband, who we found out was using heroin.
Gosh.
He died, she died, she forgave him, so they both stood together while she contracted the HIV into AIDS virus from him, stayed with him, forgave him, and they died within a year together. So that was a very traumatic experience, watched my dad cry.
But what an
cry.
Important moment for you, though, because of course you're going to be hysterical when you lose your baby sister like that. It's so natural, and even to point out how bad my mom is with this, when my Nana passed away, her mother, and they were close, she called me to let me know, told me the news, and immediately said, are you okay? And I said, no. I was like, I'm not okay. My Nana just died, and you just told me. Why would I be okay? And I kind of like went off on her a little bit. I was like, and I know you're not okay too, and that's okay to not be okay. So that's something I really want to break with Maeve. She's going to see me cry every now and again because it's okay.
It is okay.
We're going to process those emotions and get over it.
For mommy and daddy. Now, talk about crying. So, Carla, and it's not a joke, you are a very emotional person. Do you get that from your parents?
Yeah. Well, my mom was very much like your mom. I never saw her cry. My mom is probably like the strongest person I know. I've never seen my mom cry. I have never heard my mom speak ill of a single person in my entire 23 years of life. I've never seen her be mean, but I have seen her get pushed around a lot. And so I feel like I have that quality from her, like the whole I can be pushed around very easily. But I feel like other than that, I'm my dad to the T in his best and his worst qualities, which is like kind of weird to look at now that I'm older, because like, for example, I lie a lot. That is all my dad. I'm not humble and I'm not modest in a lot of things. And that's also my dad. It's like a lot of things like that where I'm exactly like my dad is, and I wish that I could break the cycle, and I want to, because I don't just want to be like, oh, I'm a Cancer, I'm emotional, like blame it on stupid things. I do know that I have a lot of growing up to do, and I don't think that I've had the opportunity to really sit down and look within myself at my flaws and my not flaws. So I don't think I've ever even really thought about that, how my parents have affected me. I do know that I had a really good childhood, I feel, growing up, but a lot of my anger with my parents came when I was older, once I started really understanding things that were wrong with me and not having them to back me up in it. Like, I don't know if I want to talk about this, but I went through something really, really hard 2 years ago, and I know you guys know what it is, I feel. Mm-hmm. And when I told my mom about it, because I felt like I couldn't tell my dad, I was like, he's gonna be so ashamed of me. And
why would he be ashamed of that?
I was just scared to tell him. I feel like I didn't know how he would react. Like, he'd be so disappointed that I was about to ruin my life. And I know that's a crappy way to see it. But when I asked my mom, like, what do you think I should do? I have option A and I have option B. And my mom just kept saying, like, oh, you know, do whatever's best for you. She, like, never comforted me know that.
She was very, like, analytical about it.
Yeah, or let me know that had I chosen a certain option, that she would support me. Gotcha. Like, I never felt like I had their support or their help. I was 20 years old and dumb as shit.
Yeah.
And this was a huge decision that they didn't help me with. I also feel like I had about 3 suicide attempts in my life, and not once did they try to, like, help me seek out professional help. They always swept it under the rug. They never talked about it the next day. I think my last one, or my second to last one, I had bandages on my wrists. And the very next day out of the hospital, nobody talked about it. And I was going to go to cheer practice because I was a coach at the time. Jeez. And I was wearing this like little sweater, and you could see my bandages. My mom pulls me back into the house, and she goes, put on a different sweater. And I was like, it's not even cold outside. And she goes, yeah, but you need to cover up your bandages. And I was just like, oh.
That was the extent of it?
Yeah, or like one time I tried overdosing, and the very next day, nobody talked to me. They just like left me in my room in the dark. Like, what the fuck, you know? So I think I have like a lot of deep-rooted anger in the way that they didn't know how to cope with things, because in Mexican traditions, like, you sweep shit under the rug and you keep it the fuck moving.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's probably what I want to break, I guess, with my kids.
Well, that's what I wanted to say.
As while you were sought.
You're breaking the cycle right now by talking about, like, I've never talked about this out loud before, but I also had a suicide attempt when I was, like, younger. And that was something that I talked to my parents about, and I can relate to you because they literally didn't acknowledge it. They just completely breezed right over it and acted as if I hadn't even said anything.
Wow.
And it was probably around, like, ooh. I was probably around like 12 or 13. And that was like, it was a huge moment for me because I was like, wait, they're not even
phased.
They're not even phased. Yeah. Like, wow. Okay. And so it's tough. Like, I think one thing that you should know, though, is like, because you talked about, like, I haven't taken a chance to like sit down, like, grow up or whatever. Girl, you have so much time to do that. And like, that's a continuous process, too.
Yeah. It is.
So don't worry about that. Yeah. Like, you could be like 35, God forbid 30. And you'll still be going through that, and you'll be having those conversations with yourself. But one thing that I love that we talked about here is like, yes, it's their fault, but it's our responsibility to pick up those pieces and just to kind of like, okay, now I'm here. Because yes, that moment happened with my parents, but also like to go back to it, like, my mom was in boarding schools for like pretty much her whole life. My dad moved out here to get married to my mom, who they'd never known. And they raised somebody who is so confident in himself that he's able to talk about it on a public platform like this. Like, there's so many pros and cons that come with it.
And
like,
your parents didn't break the cycle because they were probably raised that way.
Or much worse. Yes. Like, that's why, when we started talking about it, like, one of the really cool things for me is learning in my adulthood is, like, acknowledging that they're humans, but to really think and also just to be like, oh my God, what was it like for you? Because I'm struggling. This was literally what I said to somebody yesterday, where it's like, my God, my parents must be so much stronger than I could ever be, because I'm struggling with how good I have it. And they had it. And I can't even imagine what it was like for them at any given point in their life. And they still made it so that my life is better.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that it's really important to remember that stuff. Be honest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you're doing things to break that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
By you acknowledging it, Carla.
Mm-hmm.
When you're... have a family and stuff like that. I think you're going to be a great mother, by the way.
Really?
Yes. I think you undersell yourself, and I think that's, you know, you talk about your own issues and stuff. I think you're going to be a great mom, but I think you talking about it now and you put it out there that you are going to make sure that if your kids have an issue like that, you're going to tell them what you wanted to be told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You want to comfort your kid because you're going to see yourself in your daughter. You're like, this is what I wanted to hear. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's kind of rough because it's like, I had like, they were really good to me growing up. I had everything I needed.
Yeah.
It's just everything that really, I guess, hit the fan just came so much later in my life, which is where like all the anger came from. Because you know how sometimes you go to therapy and you're like, when I was 3, like, no, all of it was just all of a sudden. And so, even like just seeing my parents do things, but particularly my dad, because my mom's a freaking saint. But sometimes I like feel guilty for like not holding them accountable for things. And it's just like a whole, we could really talk about this. There are times where I feel guilty for loving my dad. And it's just like, which it could be a next podcast, but.
Totally. Well, my dad had someone else pregnant, one with my mom, me and my stepsister. He had 2 women pregnant at the same time, and my mom went through some shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mom went through some shit. Like, me and my sister were born 4 months apart, and her mom and mama would fight in the street. They were fighting for my dad. And people would tell me, like, your dad put your mom through so much shit. And she kept fighting for your dad and fighting for, and there was affairs and stuff like that. So I hear where you're coming from, the like, but you live and learn. People are human, like Anise says, people make mistakes. I live in a world of forgiving because through radio, specific through radio, I've had to forgive a lot of people, not hold any hate for them, wish them well in life and keep it moving. And basically, in my turn, fuck with people that I want to fuck with, like Carla, Anish, and Gina, and just be like, I can't dwell on this shit that does.
Absolutely.
You can't do that. Oh, that was a great one, guys.
Oh, my
God. It was.
Yeah, I like that. Hopefully, you got a lot out of that. Please subscribe. It looks like we are going to have, this is going to spill over to more podcasts, because I just want to ask so many questions to Carla, Anish, and Gina about this one. My goodness. So, The Aftermess, subscribe, and let us know your thoughts. DM us individually. I'm 1,000 people away from 50K. Listen, follow me at Who's Joey Boy.
Yeah, Joey to 50K.
50K is what I need. And then it doesn't mean shit after that. You're like,
yeah, you know, whatever.
I'm scared to hit 50K because then after 50, the only big thing is like 100, right?
75.
Yeah. I don't know. 75 doesn't, 100 to me is like.
So that's like, a number, but 75 is
75 is pretty decent.
That's a decent number.
1,000. Yeah. Can you guys like solicit for me? I need one more 1,000.
Oh my God. Please. You know what? Fine.
I will. Are you kidding me? Thank I you support guys. This measure.
We're going to record this right now.
Are you the, like when you're getting gas, if it's like a penny over or under, you're like, you have to punch it. Like, I have to put $20, not $19.99.
Yeah. And you know what I've seen before is when you're like one decimal away from getting a full gallon or away from getting like the dollar amount even. Oh. It's like, which one do I go for? I don't know.
Hardest decision in your life,
yes.
Right? I need 50K, so please solicit for me, 50K. Hey guys, it's me, it's Joey Boy. I'm at 49,000 people. I need 1,000 more followers. So all of Carla's followers, please follow me at Who's Joey Boy. Thank you. Hi guys, it's me, it's Joey Boy. Anisha's good friend here. Listen, I'm at 49,000 followers. I need one more 1,000. So please do me and my kids a favor. Follow dad at Who's Joey Boy.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Bye. Hi, guys. It's me, Joey Boy. Friend to Gina here. Listen, I'm at 49,000 followers. I really want 1,000 more followers to get that 50K. It means so much to my wife. She's going to leave me if I don't reach that mark.
Oh my God.
So, thanks. Follow me at Who's Joey Boy. Let me tell you, this is important.
Shut up.
After the Mess podcast.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.